Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so sorry, Saints. We just had a technical difficulty here, but I'm back. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for connecting us back together. Well, let's begin our study today. We're talking about no one need apply. Why? The Lord, our God, is on the job. Our scripture text is found in Psalm 9, verses 9, 10, and 11. I want to read verse 10. It reads, "And they that know the name, or they that know thy name, will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. We love you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to minister to us today as we continue this study, a study that reminds us that we're never to take our eyes off of you. We are never to turn to the arm of flesh to be rescued. Rescuing is your job and your job alone. So, Lord, we turn to you in faith this morning and we ask you, Lord, to open our eyes if we don't see that, to convince us if we need convincing, to rebuke us if we need rebuking. Oh, God, settle in our hearts that we're to trust in you and you alone. For you will not have it any other way than for your people to trust in thee. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen, and amen. I'd like you to turn to your outline there and on page 2. It was not my intention to do a 5-part series, but that's what we're going to do. So we're looking at this portion of the text where you have these elevators. And that portion of the text, the bullet point reads, and we're reading from 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1b. 1a says this: "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." We covered that yesterday. And I shared with you how there's always wars in the kingdom of God. There's always wars among the children of God. You read the Bible from one end to the other, and you will find intrigue. You will find political upheaval, yes, in among the people of God. You take Numbers 12. Who betrayed Moses? Who came against Moses? Well, his beloved sister Miriam and his beloved partner Aaron, both close to Moses, and they opposed him. They opposed him in Numbers 12. Miriam being the ringleader and being the general spokesman of the opposition in that chapter. And this is why God plagued her with leprosy, because she was at fault. Listen, my brothers and sisters, battles in the church among siblings, battles in the church among families, battles in the church by pastors, elders, deacons, trustees. Read your Bible. And so there was a long war, which is a sad thing. It's a sad thing when God's people are at war with each other. It's a sad testimony. It's an ugly thing. It's horrible. But it happens. And we need to realize that it happens, and we need to be prepared for it when it does happen. Now, there's war or infighting among saints, and that's one thing. And then there's war against wolves. That's not infighting. They're on the outside looking in, and we need to make that distinction. So there's infighting among the children of God. If you were ever raised in a family, aren't there sibling rivalry? Wasn't Jacob and Esau in competition all their lives? Didn't Isaac favor Esau? Didn't Rebekah favor Jacob? My brothers and sisters, read your Bibles. Look at the rivalry between Ishmael and Isaac. You see, again, it's a sad thing. It's a sad testimony to have infighting among the saints of God, but a necessary thing for there to be war against wolves. And for that, we make no apology, and for that, we're not embarrassed, and for that, we shall be ready. Now, today, I want to look at the portion of the text that says, which is the part B, but the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And we are really talking about, why are there ministers today who are in a panic? Why are there congregations today that are in a panic? Why are there families today that are in a panic? Why are there individual Christians today living in a panic? And I would submit to you, it is because they don't know God's name. Psalm 9:10 says, and they that know thy name, they that know God. Do you know God? Do you know who he is? Do you know him by first book knowledge and then experimentally? Do you know him? Have you walked with him? If you know God, if you know the God of the book, and then if you know the God of your life. See, the God of the book steps into your life and shows himself to be in your life like he is in the book. That's what it means to know God. To know God means that the God of the book will also manifest his powers, his protective and rescuing powers on your behalf in your life. Do you know him? Has he appeared in any chapter of your life? Has he appeared at any critical point of your life? Has he appeared at any crossroads of your life? If he has, then you know him. And if he's done something for you that you have acknowledged, then you should trust in him. Because those who trust in him are never forsaken. And this is why you should take down the help wanted sign. Are you in trouble? Why did you put a help wanted sign out there? Don't you know your God? Don't you know your Heavenly Father? Don't you know him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light? Don't you know him who has sent his Son to redeem you and save you and purchase you and seal you? You are his property. You've been sealed. You have his mark on your soul. placed there by the Holy Spirit. You're gods. So why are you running around like Chicken Little? The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, because you claim to know God, but you really don't. You don't. And the people who claim to know God and don't grow weaker and weaker and weaker. And the people who claim to know God and do get stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, here you have in pictures 1 and 2, you have two individuals in an elevator, and they're going in opposite directions. One man is going up, and for that first elevator, you could put David. And man number two, he's going down, and there you can put Saul. David and Saul. David in elevator 1, he's going up. He's getting stronger and stronger. He's going higher and higher in the things of God. And elevator number 2 is Saul, and he's just getting weaker and weaker, and he's getting lower and lower and lower in the things of God. And then that third elevator, that's you. Where are you going to go? Put a question mark there. Have you decided how you're going to go? Are you going up or are you going down? Your going up depends upon you putting your trust in the Lord, and your going down will be the result of you not putting your trust in the Lord. And then the fourth box is the church. What are we going to do as a church? What are we going to do as deacons? What are we going to do as trustees? What are we going to do as a group of leaders? What are we going to do as a congregation? So the first two are David and Saul. The third one is you as an individual. And the fourth box is the congregation, Grace Church. What's going to happen to us? Are we going to wax stronger and stronger, or are we going to wax weaker and weaker? So let me just prove to you by scripture. Let me show you scripturally operates. So let's talk about Saul first. And for Saul, under elevator number 2, you want to put down 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now remember, the house of Saul is getting weaker and weaker. He's going lower and lower in the rankings. In the power rankings, he's just getting weaker and weaker and lower and lower. And why is he getting weaker and weaker and not stronger and stronger? Why is Saul going backwards instead of forwards? Well, I will submit to you that the reason for that is he put his trust in everybody except God. I can show you chapter after chapter how Saul put his trust in everyone except the Lord. When you put your trust in other people and not the Lord, you're just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. For example, Saul put his trust in self. He was a selfish man. He did what he himself wanted. He put his trust, his confidence, in his own wisdom, in his own knowledge, in his own experience, which was nothing. And that was the beginning of his getting weaker. Then he put his trust in Samuel. And not that Samuel wasn't a person you couldn't trust, but Samuel was pointing him to the Lord. Samuel was saying, don't trust me. Ultimately, you've got to put your trust in God and in his word. So Samuel was his leader. Samuel was his prophet. But we're to put our trust in God, prophets of God, but in God himself. Because the prophets themselves did not trust themselves. They put their confidence in the Lord. So here you have it. First, he puts his trust in self. He trusted his own wisdom, his own way of doing things, and that began his move backwards. That began to produce the initial weakness. Then he would turn to Samuel. And then that, of course, Samuel is dependent on God. Samuel is not dependent on Samuel. Samuel is not an end to himself. If you went to Samuel, he would point you to the Lord. Then when Samuel was not available, then Saul put his trust in soldiers. He put his trust in his army. And how did that avail him in 1 Samuel 17 when Goliath showed up? Both he and his men were in their tents hiding. His soldiers, his armies availed him nothing. Then when he discovered that David was his replacement, Saul put his trust on hitmen. He hired people to snuff David's life, which never happened. So he put his trust in gangsters whom he hired, whom he paid to get rid of David, because if he got rid of David, then he could stay on the throne and stay in power. But you see, he put his trust in self, then in Samuel, then in his soldiers, then in his hitmen, and nothing availed him. And then finally, he put his trust in a witch. And that was the final line that he crossed. And when he crossed that final line, that imaginary line, God said, that's enough. So notice, self, Samuel, soldiers, hitmen, witch. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 28, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel 28, verses 1 through 7. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy and precious word.
Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David,
"You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.
Surely you know what your servant can do.
Therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever."
Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him, and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophet.
So notice, here is Saul, extremely weakened spiritually. The Philistines are mighty. They've gathered for battle. And here is Saul, weakened spiritually and greatly afraid. And he turns to the God whom he has rejected again and again. Remember, instead of turning to God, he turned to self. Instead of turning to God, he leaned on Samuel and used Samuel as a crutch. Instead of turning to God, he turned to his soldiers. Instead of turning to God, he turned to his hitmen, to no avail. So instead of turning to God first, he turns to God last. And God says, I will not answer you. I will not respond. I will not help you. So now he turns to what? A witch. Let's read the text.
Then Saul said to his servants,
"Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her."
"In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor."
So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night.
"Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Look,
You know what Saul has done. How he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?
And Saul swore to her by the Lord.
As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.
Whom shall I bring up for you?
Bring up Samuel for me.
You see, he reverts back to his old habits. Bring up Samuel. That's the final nail in the coffin. The house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Why? Because he always failed to turn to God first and to turn to God solely. My brothers and sisters, the day that you see me, or the day that you don't see me going to church to pray, you know I'm backslidden. The day that you don't see me, the pastor of Grace Church, I'm talking about me. The day you don't hear me on the prayer line on Tuesday night, you know I'm backslidden. The day you don't see me on my face crying out to God, you know there's got to be something wrong with Brother Torres. Because we should always turn to God first and solely. The psalmist said, they that know thy name. Oh, I know God's name. I know his resume. Will put their trust in thee. I will never put trust in myself. I will never put trust in any of my mentors who came before me. I will never put my trust in soldiers or in hitmen or in witches. No. I will put my trust first and only in the Lord. I will never diversify. I will never put a little bit of trust in the Lord and then a little bit of trust in this. Never. The day that I do, you know something's wrong with me. You know I'm already starting to depart from the Lord. If ever you hear me talk different, if ever you hear me say, the most important service of the week is my class on the Antichrist, you need to show up. If I ever say that, you know something's wrong. The most important service at Grace Church is the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Yours truly and the congregation will be led to God in prayer. Now, let's read why David always went up, why he grew stronger and stronger. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting at verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse number Samuel 30. And it reads,
now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
See, in ministry, things go sideways. Things just don't go up and down. They go sideways. This is an episode where David is serving the Lord, doing the right thing, surviving from the attacks of Saul, who is still chasing him, who still has the hitmen pursuing him, who still has a bounty on David's head. It's all there. David is always doing the right thing, and here in this chapter, he who is doing the right thing suffers a major catastrophic defeat. Because life and ministry will throw you curveballs. Because everything doesn't always go up and down. Sometimes they go sideways. But what did David do? Well, David did what he always did. And what does the Bible say in verse 6? When everything went sideways, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He went to prayer. He didn't go to strategizing. He didn't go to consult the high priest, which later on he does. He first goes to consult God. After he consults God, after he encourages himself in the Lord, after he builds himself up in the Lord, after he becomes stronger in the Lord, then he turns to the high priest and say, okay, what does the Lord say I should do? But he first strengthened himself, and that was his practice. And that's why the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul weaker and weaker. And so this solves the riddle. Why is it that some churches are going backwards? Why is it that some churches are going forward? Why is it that some ministers are going backwards? Why is it that some ministers are going forward? Why is it that some church families are going backwards and other church families are going forward? Why is it that individual Christians, some are going backwards, others are going forward? It has to do with what? Putting your trust in the Lord. They that put their trust in the Lord shall not be forsaken. And why is it that people put their trust in the Lord? Well, they know his resume. It always goes back to, do you know your God? And I hear people saying all the time, I know the Lord. But they do the opposite of what the Lord would have them to do. And then when you see what they do, they go backwards even more. The Bible is just so simple. It's a simple book. Seek the Lord and ye shall prosper. Forsake the Lord and you will go backwards. Some people will seek the Lord on Monday and they'll go up a little, and then some people will forsake the Lord on Tuesday and go right back down, and they have this yo-yo effect where they go up and down, and they never go anywhere. They never go anywhere. They're stuck. One day they're up, the next day they're down. One day they're up, the next day they're down. They go down some, they come up some. And that's the life of some Christians. They never make any progress. They always stay where they're at. Year after year, decade after decade, you look, where am I? Oh, I'm at today in 2023. I'm at today where I was in 1983. Why is that? Well, they haven't sought the Lord. No, but I have. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You're telling, you're saying, you're confessing that you're turning to the Lord, but the results prove the opposite. Jesus said, the Apostle Paul said, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he reaps. If you sow tomatoes, you can't get eggplants. If you sow faithfulness and trust in the Lord, you cannot get defeat. It can't happen. It just can't. A man will reap that which he sows. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap spirit. This is why Paul says God is not mocked. You can mock yourself. You can trick yourself. You can deceive yourself. But God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Reap. My brothers and sisters, we don't need to be in a panic. We don't need to be afraid. I know these are frightening times. I know the headlines are scary. Look around us, and the world is in turmoil. But there's a way up. There's a way to get stronger. Psalm 9:10. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that what? Seek thee. Why was Saul forsaken at the end? Why was he forsaken? Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles. I'm going to let the Bible answer that question for you. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles. Let's see if I can find the scripture text. The wonderful scripture text. First Chronicles. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Help me, Holy Spirit. First Chronicles. Okay. I can't find it, but I promise to have it for you tomorrow. I know it's in 1 Chronicles here, and I don't want to waste any. Okay, let's see here. Let's see here. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Chronicles 10. 1 Chronicles 10. Verse 13, and here's the verdict. Here's the verdict. This is God's final word on Saul, 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his transgression, singular, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of that one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And he inquired not of the Lord. Therefore God slew him. And he turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. There you have it. The final nail in the coffin was for Saul that he did not ask God, and he went to the witch of Endor. That was it. And for that, God took him out and gave the kingdom, turned it over to David. You see, the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker, and the house of David grew stronger and stronger, and there are churches that grow weaker, and there are churches that grow stronger, and the churches that turn to God and keep turning to God and will forever turn to God will always remain strong. And the churches that fail to do so will have padlocks put on their doors. God have mercy. Lord have mercy on us. God, open our eyes. God, stir us up to do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll be back to do part five tomorrow, which was not scheduled. But I'll come back tomorrow to end this series on a more positive high note. God bless you.
When the trumpet has sounded and the judgment we stand, and the Lord up in heaven takes you by the hand. If for things I've done wrong I am sent down below, Satan have hold me, this much I know. Satan can't hold me, nobody can. Angel or devil, spirit or man, through the valleys of darkness I'll come to your side. Your love my beacon, my lamp, my guide. Swim every river that keeps me from you, till that wonder.